Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's November 9th, a Thursday.
Can it be the 10th?
Huh?
Can't it be the 10th?
No, it's the 9th.
I'll be good, I promise. Not for very long.
One more day. And it's Scorpio's talking. And my name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York at the Bright Red Desk. And Michael's up there in Hudson. Michael?
I am. Mm-hmm. I'm Michael Kohlberg. I'm a psychotherapist. And I am in Hudson, New York today, and I'm sometimes in New York City also.
Yeah, and so we get together on the internet and talk about what's going on in the world and how to work with that energy. And we started this back when Saturn was in Scorpio, and he's now about to leave Sagittarius. So we've had two Saturn cycles of talking about the world. And we had elections this week, Michael. Did you pay attention to what happened? Lots of change. People showed up and a lot of different candidates elected, including a number of Democrat socialists, which weren't really acknowledged by the Democratic Party, but they were like Bernie people. So I was like, ooh, the ginger guy in Virginia, and he was former Marine. But he's like, health care for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, really positive energy.
No, it seemed that there was a commonality to all of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That, which is what I felt. I haven't read all of their records, so I could be off. But from the energy read, it's if you put all of them in a room, they would get along and they would have a conversation about their differences.
And they would work it out.
Yes.
Instead of yelling at
them. So this is key.
Yeah, it is. This is how we rebuild this system. You know, when we talk about Barbara Marx Hubbard and everything collapsing, part of it is as it collapses, we can grab it gently or we can grab it, you know, we can throw it to the ground and jump on it and kill it. And I'm of the grab it gently. I just, earlier today, one of my friends has pancreatic cancer.
I'm sorry.
Yep, and she's 70 and been married happily for many years and decided, you know, that she and her husband announced that she's stopping chemo. She just got diagnosed a couple weeks ago, so it's not a long diagnosis. But she was a hospice. She's a nurse. She was a hospice nurse. She worked a visiting nurse service for many years, and she just was like quality of life, man. And it already had metastasized to the liver. So she's doing the not doing the chemo and contacting hospice, and her chemo doctors are all in alliance. You know, it was kind of like, you know, it was like you're going to get to watch the leaves change one more time. On, you know, she lives up in the Inwood, so she's a beautiful view of the Palisades, which is this, for those of you who don't live in New York, Rockefeller had a lot of money, and he bought the Palisades so he would have a view of these leaves changing. So there's this beautiful park across the river in New Jersey with no houses in it because he bought the land and left it raw so that he would have a view of trees changing.
There's a convent in it.
Yes, there's a convent, but not much else. And so she lives up in Inwood, which also has a beautiful park. And one of her favorite things is her morning walks. So, you know, she's a feisty little Libra-Leo mix. And, you know, but it also, watch the leaves change, hang out with Tom, her husband, you know, her beloved maid of many years. She's a big Irish clan that she's from. But it also was, you know, as we shuffle off this mortal coil, you know, she's going out dancing and singing, not doing the chemo. And so,
well, the chemo's the least of it.
Yes, totally.
There's a horrible surgery also.
Yes, which she didn't do.
No,
she elected not to do that.
Very smart.
The Whipple, yeah.
Yep. So, that's so interesting. I mean, I am current.
Yes.
On that.
On that stuff, yeah.
And because I don't know if this is helpful to anybody, but I suddenly couldn't read. Like, nothing would go in. And I tried and tried. And I had some books downloaded onto my Kindle that I was really looking forward to, especially Alice Hoffman's new book. She's written a lot of books that are kind of like fables, most of them. She wrote about Masada, but her first, I think it was her first book, was Practical Magic, which was made into a movie that is quite wonderful if you haven't seen it. About, and it's about witches, and it's really good. Anyway, so she wrote a prequel to it, and I was really looking forward to it, and I could not, it wouldn't go in, and I tried a bunch of other things, it would not go in. I was directed to Joyce Maynard's new book, and I'm not somebody whose work I'm drawn to, and it started pouring in, and it was about her relationship with her husband and his diagnosed pancreatic cancer and his death. And they went the alternate route. They did everything. But they'd only been married a year, and they wanted to do everything he could for her.
Right.
So, and it was really well written, but it was extremely difficult to get through because it brought up every single thing that...
you went through with Jean.
Yeah. So, even though it was a different diagnosis, and... they made very different choices than the choices that Jean and I made. So, which were very aligned with your friends. And I kept going, do I really, do I need to read this? So I was going to shut up and read. So when it was done, I mean, there's a lot more, but when, and I realized I was reprocessing or processing more of what was coming up, and it was not fun. And at the end, it dovetailed exactly into the prequel of Alice Hoffman's book. Like, I felt like I was continuing the same story. And I cannot figure out how those two things could possibly flow, but it did. So I don't want to, I mean, you know, I could take a guess, which is I'm finishing up something, getting ready to move into
a new thing,
something else.
January 10th,
But, oh, whatever. It's, those are the kinds of things I notice that, it's good. And it feels like what you started the show with, which is we moved from Monday, which is the usual horrible nightmare of, the aftermath of a shooting. The authorities calling for more guns in churches. Into Tuesday, where there's hope. You know, and simply in Hudson, it's they redistricted things. The districts were illegal and totally out of balance, and it concentrated authority into a couple of districts here, and this is a small town. So I think it was Fordham Law School did a policy study which said these, you know, this is illegal, and they worked very, very hard to have a referendum, and it definitely, everybody wanted it redistricted by a long shot. So this is the first election where things are equal and balanced. Each district has the same amount of people. And it changed the outcome. And the mayor, the treasurer, and the common council president ran unopposed and got, you know, obviously won, but had a huge amount of support from everybody. So there's nothing that people here agree on.
Right, except but, they agreed on that.
But these three top people, everybody agreed. And the rest of the council, it feels as though there are people who I think are extremely harmful and destructive for a variety of really good reasons. But I think that they're going to be outweighed. You know, it's just it's interesting. I think things are coming back into balance a bit.
Well, yeah, I think it's part of the, you know, if we're looking at it and we're saying, okay, we're, you know, it swings and it moves. I thought it was a good reaction, you know, to the a good reaction to the, you know, to the last year at the same time when everybody was like, "Oy." But I think it also is it's an awareness of the importance of, you know, what is your truth?
And well, and it seems that the people who won were issues-based, not, they didn't run on personality.
Right, right.
And that is extremely important.
That is important, yeah, because then we're going to say, okay, let's step up and say, okay, let's work with the issues and what are they.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think when we look at that, it's, you know, I have a few Republican friends on Facebook, and, you know, they were weighing in that, you know, don't be discouraged, you know, there's a temporary setback. And I'm like, good. You know, not in a mean way, but just, you know, that, you know, a little to the left, a little to the right, you know, we're walking, you know, we walk left, right, you know, our feet go left, right. We have, it's how we achieve balance. So kind of that back, you know, we don't just hop on one foot. So to my mind is a positive. And, you know, it also starts at the bottom. You know, it's, you know, a lot of the local legislatures, things were up. So it, like in your case, they redistricted.
Yeah.
I also, you know, when we were, I was away this weekend. I was in Cincinnati teaching and came back on Monday and got to my, I went to visit a friend who I hadn't seen in about 10 years. Last time I saw her was the college reunion 10 years ago because her husband was sick at the five-year-ago reunion. And and it was, you know, it was interesting to catch up, you know, obviously, because, you know, I mean, you're on Facebook, but that's not really talking to them. And hanging out, and when I got to her house, they had the church shooting. And, you know, and I was kind of like, oh, you know, like just the energy of that. And then, but we're coming now into Mercury and Sag. And so at Mercury and Sag is to your earlier point about the book, what Mercury and Sag does is takes us back to September of 15 and asks us to go review what went on between now and January 10th. And we're going to have a Mercury retrograde in the middle of it, Mercury in Sag, as Saturn finishes his journey in Sag, which he finishes in December. So we're going to have a review period where we go back and we look at what we did in this last 2.5 years and what happened. So to the point where you were saying it, like kind of opened it up and reprocessed, yes, expect more of that, with the idea being it's a three path. So there's one, you just had one. You got two more to go. And one of them is kind of, okay, now that that happened, now what do I think about it? And you go back and review and connect. And, of course, that's also when a lot of people return and say, okay, I figured out some stuff. And then we go forward a third time and move into a different direction, right? So, you know, so there's three, and that runs through January 10th. And then we have this really juicy new moon in January, as Saturn enters Capricorn with Venus on it and Pluto on it. And so it's a very big new moon. And it also harks back 8 years ago when we had the Venus star point, which, of course, was when the economy collapsed, you know, and Barack was kind of first in office. So it's a really interesting time that we're kind of reviewing, because we're getting ready for this new physical world that's going to change, how we're going to actually do it as opposed to what the vision is. So vision got an impulse of new energy, and now, okay, what's the next chapter? And it really begins, you know, first with a review of what we learned from Saturn and Sag, and then we go, okay, now that we know that, now we're going to go into this next chapter of what we want to structure and how we want it to be structured. So it's a real important time for people to pay attention.
Well, so mm-hmm. Here's the deal,
yeah,
from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to figure out what paying attention means.
Right.
I had, I mean, it was truly...
Well, it's like what you did. You observed, I can't get in here. And then you observed, I can get in here. And then you went in there, and then you did the process, you read the book, and then you went, you came out, and you went, oh, now I can get into the other thing. I couldn't get into it before. So something about the Maynard book,
well,
you needed to process that first before you could go into the other, because it gave you a different framework, or it gave you a different approach, or it helped you look at it in a different way.
It's
you know, you have that thing about curiously looking. Right.
Yeah, yeah. No. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's, the thing that I was directed to read
mm-hmm.
Had me going minute by minute.
Yes.
And she's a character.
Yes, she is. I don't particularly like her stuff because I find her too self-involved in it.
You know,
like the reporter that goes and interviews a movie star and then just talks about themselves.
Right.
I'm like, I want to, like the Jennifer Lawrence interview in Vanity Fair last month, you know, and it was like, I don't really care about what you think about her outfit. I want you to talk to her.
Right.
You know, yeah. Okay, that's why I find Maynard very assertive.
It's and this was a memoir, so.
And this was a memoir on top of it. So,
well, yeah. So it was useful because it's supposed to be about her experience.
In this case, yeah.
Yes. So it gave voice to a lot of experiences that I actually felt, which I'm still holding in my body, which have been reactivated because of all the shit going on with Jean's office.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So it was a journey through a hyper-aroused nervous system, kind of.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I finished that I realized a couple of things, like Rachel and I saved Jean so much suffering. And it was so in line with Jean's wishes.
Yeah.
And how lucky we were. So anyway, but then it moved into Practical Magic, which is, and Practical Magic is a fable. But it,
those fables are powerful.
But it also is more like the Joyce Maynard thing was like me traveling in foreign country, even though it's Earth, you know, it's what everybody does every day. Practical Magic's much more my home base.
Yes.
And all
and
the stuff
world.
That's in there. Pardon?
And preferred world. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it just makes much more sense.
Right.
And it happens to be an incredibly well-written book, I think. Really good. So it moved me back home in a way. I can't explain it better than that. But my point being that it left me in, I have absolutely no idea where I am. I suddenly am having all kinds of physical symptoms. I'm overwhelmed because I had, there was a whole bunch of stuff I had to do, that took me in two opposite directions, each an hour apart when I got here on Tuesday. And I obviously can't do that. What do I do? So I'm just feeling like this complete vibration. And I didn't understand exactly what that was other than just complete misery. And luckily I had the space to just shut the door and be here.
Right.
But what I found was, I opted to do the thing that was, you know, more important because it was scheduled. It had to do with going right where you stayed in Rhinebeck.
Oh, the Delmar.
Yeah, I just had to go across the street from there for the car. And then just, you know, like kill a few hours while they did their car thing. But I, during that time I was walking around, it's like I had made the right choice because somebody could actually deliver the other stuff, it turned out, which I happened to hear by accident. So I didn't have to go the other direction.
Oh, okay.
So if I can possibly separate what's happening from my anxiety around it and sit with empty, but I mean empty.
Right.
I will notice that things are working out and that I'm feeling massive amounts of residual trauma and or anxiety.
Right.
I worked with a client yesterday, has been giving voice to the fact that he cannot tolerate a situation he's in with work. Just can't tolerate it, and it's a family business, so stuck. You know, because they're children and stuff. And someone showed up who actually turned to him and said, I've got it. I'm holding space for you. I mean, how many people are going to do that?
Right.
Right? I'm going like, well, there you have it.
Yeah.
And he was finding a lot of fault with this person. And I'm going like, so it seems that you're really committed to being in a situation you can't tolerate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This person has done their work, so they were going, oh, guess so. So we looked at it again, mm-hmm. at the terror that comes with
change.
Well, it's with, I'm holding space for you, is going to plop him down in I haven't a clue. And the I haven't a clue is where most people are at the moment, although most people are filling it up with busyness.
Yeah.
But I don't know that anybody has a map of
next.
Yeah. So that's a really hard place to tolerate. A lot of people, including me, I think I must have gotten everything wrong if I'm here now.
Right.
So there's a lot of shame.
Mm-hmm.
Right on schedule, which is, you know, my history, is that if I say anything about that at all, people think I'm complaining, mm-hmm. which I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's an opportunity to go, you're not supposed to be talking to people about this. You're supposed to be having an inner experience. So that's okay. I'm trying. I learned. It's all so fascinating because it seems that the information is now starting to flow,
mm-hmm.
but how we decode is undergoing a massive change.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to sit with, what the fuck does this mean?
Right.
And just go, I'm really interested in knowing what this means, as opposed to, oh, this is happening, so that means this.
Right.
Like, don't be so quick to do that.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Right. And I think when we do it, we kind of say, okay, what are we doing? We have this whole different energy then, because we're then working in a different direction. And, you know, and that's really all we can do on many levels. It's like, okay, you know, what can I actually do to make this a little different? And I think what we're seeing is people really kind of being, crabby about what they want. I don't know. Have you been noticing that? I've been seeing people are just kind of like not happy.
No. I mean, there's no way to be happy and in this spot. You know, I tend to blame myself.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't. They
right.
blame other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having I think I just, it feels like I'm on a magic carpet ride a little bit,
mm-hmm.
In that I think I've made enough choices which did not get sucked into those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So when I removed the person who's, you know, so toxic in my apartment, mm-hmm. with Jean's thing, that was like the last connection to that kind of energy, and I had removed myself from it before. But now it's, like, gone.
Right.
So it seems like I don't get sucked in.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Charleston over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and my friend and I were walking around, and she was looking at a really beautiful house,
mm-hmm.
and a woman came out of it and said, come, I'll show you.
Wow.
And I made a huge mistake. I didn't realize it at the time. Anyway, so we went, and it was she had a tiny apartment,
mm-hmm.
in this house, which is now all broken up into tiny apartments. And she explained that she had been living in Portland, then San Francisco, for years, and came east and went through Charleston,
mm-hmm.
and never went back, even to pack up. She had friends pack her stuff.
Wow.
And she said we should go to a concert that night,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. we weren't going to do. But she said, I would go, except that I'm studying. I have to take a test because I had no idea what this person did. And she's, you know, I would say, in an amazingly good shape, 50. Mm-hmm. And she was taking the ethics part of the bar exam.
Oh, okay.
So she's a lawyer. So she took time out to do this kindness for us.
Mm-hmm.
Was really smart. I was so sorry I didn't get her contact information.
Mm-hmm.
But it meant a great deal to me that she did that, and she was fabulous. And it also was an example of somebody who's able to just pay attention to their guidance.
Right.
But over and over and over, we ran into people who said, I am so grateful to live here.
Really? Okay.
It's a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very different than, you know, the fact that I was on a trip with my friend and she and I were doing touristy things. But I heard, and I know that Jean loved it there, as did I, when we, you know, it was the only place we could think of that held any attraction for us. So I'm just keeping it in mind, because I truly cannot think ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which I think is okay. I mean, you know, you're in a...
But it's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's also when they, you know, they say when partner passes, first year, good idea not to make huge...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's all of that, but I'm saying I can't think ahead. Like, I can't think on any level, you know, what's my physical situation, what's my financial... But it seems to be not limited... You know, for me, it got triggered because Jean died,
mm-hmm.
to some extent. Some of it, I believe, would have happened anyway.
Right.
But because there were rumblings about some of this before.
Right.
And Jean was contemplating...
retiring anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but for my clients,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting to watch that same energy... how it's affecting each of them.
Mm-hmm.
So for some people, it's affecting them in terms of physical changes. Some of them, it's affecting them in terms of the relationship with themselves. Some of them, it could be whatever. But everybody's getting triggered to, I have absolutely no idea, and my organizing principle is shifting. The way, does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's the way I organize my relationship with who I am
mm-hmm.
is changing.
Right.
And that's okay. It's just very difficult for me anyway to not assume something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And that's the thing that I'm trying to help people. If there's anybody else like me, it's not that something's wrong.
Right.
It's possible that it is,
mm-hmm.
but you have to ask yourself, so am I sure that something's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I'm sure. Oh, so you're 100% sure? This is what I tell myself. No. How sure am I? 99%. So there's 1% chance that...
there is a little thing in there.
Yeah, that it's not that something's wrong? Yeah, I guess so. So is there 1% chance you didn't fuck everything up? Yeah, I guess so. So answer my question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure that everything is because you fucked everything up?
Right.
No, I guess not. So, and that's where the little space is to create the new.
Right, right. Because there is an opportunity then to go, okay.
Because the truth is, we have no idea what's coming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Things change on a dime these days.
Yeah, totally. And if we honor that and we go, okay, we're in the change on a dime thing, then we go, good, changing on a dime.
Right. So, you know, again, the old favorite, Comfortable with Uncertainty by Pema Chodron
mm-hmm.
might be helpful for some people. All of Catherine Woodward Thomas's stuff of Calling in the One. There's some online materials that are really helpful. There's a bunch of stuff that mm-hmm. would be really helpful for people to – expand their capacity to sit with, I have no idea.
And I'm not going to probably know really very soon either.
Which is really something I so wish you hadn't said.
And on that note,
all right.
Talking to
have a good week, everybody.
Who always runs our world is bidding us adieu. So,
bye.
Bye. We'll see you all next week. Bye.